Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms.
Sarah and I are I'm chatty today.
I know. It's because we haven't seen each other a lot over the last 3 weeks. And then the day that we did spend together, we were just like
hammering out
nose
work.
To the grind.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Like off air, I've been like, let me fill you in on this. Let me fill you in on that. It's just like been personal stuff because you're right. The last time we saw each other, we were like, we have to get work done.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be in the studio though today. Our episodes that we're doing today, I think, are really interesting.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about, I think this is going to be a bit of a stretch for some people, like, oh, why in the preventing recurrence are we talking about kids and helping them make healthier choices? But I don't think you can go through a health crisis and not start to want to prevent your kids from having to have the same experience.
Right. And I hear also a lot that it's hard to eat healthy because I have to eat what my kids will eat.
Uh-huh. Not true.
Yeah, I know.
Lies.
I know. The kids will eat what food is around.
Right, exactly. Or they won't eat at all, which is what my kids have found. It's like, I'm hungry. Well, there's an apple. No, I don't want that. Well, then you're not hungry.
Yeah.
Right?
You're not starving then.
Kids today, let's just talk about it. This is my concern for kids today, mm-hmm. based off of what I see. They're overweight.
Yes.
They're addicted to their phones. They're riding motorized scooters instead of bikes. And then we have the increase in cancer, autism, ADD, which now they're starting to link to unhealthy lifestyle habits. So today we're going to talk about the increase in illness for kids.
Yep. What's contributing to this epidemic?
And what we can do to lead by example and ensure our kids have a healthier future.
But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into four key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving. Understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our wait list, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp.
And we're back. Let's talk about the increase in illness for kids today. Gosh, the chronic illnesses are not just rising for adults. I think we all know the cancer rates for adults, like young people. You know, mm-hmm. we were in our 30s.
Yeah.
When we got diagnosed, I mean, that's going through the roof. And unfortunately,
and it's younger and younger.
It's younger and younger. And it's like, it's really just, and it's alarming because we're adults, but we're also seeing the warning signs in the kids.
I had a friend who, her daughter had a rare disease. I don't know if you would call it cancer, but a rare something whenever I was going through it. Oh, it must have been cancer because she had to do a chemo. Anyway, she called me and she's like, what was it like? Like, how can I support my daughter when she has to shave her head? And I was just thinking in my head, I would rather go through it again and again than
have
ever
my
have to support my kids through it.
That's the same thing I told myself. Like when I got diagnosed, I thought, thank God it's me.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of parents do.
Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing. The choices that our kids are making today or we're making for them are going to determine whether they're well in 20, 30 years.
And this is not going to like potentially make your kids the most popular because I think a lot of it is society driven. And it's like, I mean, my parents bought a lot of processed foods because processed foods were really coming out like a mm-hmm. lot in the 80s. And it was just a factor of what was out there and what made life easier and more palatable because we're all busy. And
well,
sports make everything busy and
working
school
moms
and everything.
I mean, working moms, sports, convenience food, it all ties together. Yeah. And I agree. Like that all started coming to fruition in the 80s. And guess what? We're 80s kids and we're all sick. Yeah. Not a coincidence.
Yeah.
So more kids are facing obesity. Gosh, I know this little girl. She is just, she's 10 and she is just morbidly obese. Mm-hmm. And every time I see her, I just, my heart breaks for her. She can't ride a bike. She huffs and puffs everywhere she goes. She looks so inflamed. It just is heartbreaking to see a child who should be running around like a crazy person being hindered to that degree. Type 2 diabetes is like incredibly prevalent with kids today.
Yeah.
Allergies, even early signs of heart disease and metabolic disorders are like running rampant now.
Yeah.
So in the early 1970s, do you want to guess what percentage of U.S. children aged 2 to 19 were classified as obese?
10.
Nope, it was 5.
Oh, okay. Wow.
5.
5%.
So now it's like 19%. And this is like from 2015, 2016 is when they measured it again. So it went from 5% in the 70s to now 19%. Wow. Now, they're talking about kids, but have you ever seen that picture of people at the beach in the 70s? There's not a single overweight person on the beach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to the beach, not the case.
Yeah.
Myself included. Like, I'm heavier than I would have been in the 1970s.
Sure.
So it's something we all struggle with. But I think that's really alarming. So the incidence, too, over the past 5 decades of childhood cancer has increased. So in the 1970s, the rate was approximately 13 cases in 100,000 children. But recent data indicates that this rate has risen to about 17.8 cases. So 18 cases per 100,000 children.
Wow.
That's like a 37% increase.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, back to our original point, like as bad as it sucked for us to be sick.
Yeah, like when is so bad enough that we actually open our eyes?
I mean,
yeah.
I
would say now, but.
Right.
I would say at the 13, but.
Right. I mean, well, and I think we are starting to look at these things societally. Mm-hmm. We know something's wrong.
Yeah.
Mental health concerns too.
We didn't have a lot of data for this one, but like, I think this one is almost the most important because
the mental health,
because I just see a lot of anxiety within our kids. There's so many things coming at them. Like the kids who are not, I was just talking to my, and sorry, cousin, like I'm going to out your daughter, but I go, oh, you only have 2 years before you get your permit. And she's like, I'm not excited. I don't think I'm going to be a good driver. And I'm thinking back, gosh, when I was 13, I was literally, I like was counting down the days till I got my permit.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, and
the number of kids that don't want to drive is
astounding.
Astounding.
It's crazy to me. And so I just think that anxiety and depression are probably a way bigger problem than we even recognize or have numbers for.
And you know, I think there's a twofold reason to this. This is just my own anecdotal two cents.
Give it to me.
All right. I think it's what they're consuming is affecting their mood. I also think it's parenting that enables them to be anxious. Now, my sister-in-law was really instrumental in my potential for changing my mind on this.
Okay.
Because I do think that some kids are just hardwired for anxiety. Mm-hmm. Like, I can look back at my childhood and now realize that I had anxiety. Mm-hmm. But, like, I grew up in the era of put your big girl pants on. You got to function in this world, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's a good lesson. I also think because my youngest has a lot of worries. What was she worrying about just this morning? It was really good. I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing to worry about. Oh, she was worried about, she has a hard time just making a decision in general. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what do you want for breakfast? She's like, well, I'd like what I have every morning. I'd like eggs and Nutella toast. And I go, well, we're out of Nutella toast. And so that we deviated the plan. She was like, well, what happens if you make me something and then I run out of time to have breakfast? And I was like, oh. And I don't like, what happens if you make me something, I don't like it, and then we run out of time for me to have breakfast. I'm like, that's an interesting thing.
To get anxious about?
For you to get anxious about. I mean, like, we were whining, worried, this is my 7-year-old, and so I'm going, wow, that is just, that never would have crossed my mind as something to get
anxious
about.
And were you as the parent like, oh, gosh,
no, I was like, I understand this is a hard decision for you, but to eat breakfast, we have to just make a decision and move forward with it. Maybe it's not going to be the perfect breakfast, but maybe it will be good enough for you to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is how I would have handled it. Well, then don't have breakfast.
Yeah.
Right? Like you either try something new and risk not liking it or you don't eat.
Yeah.
There's so many parents out there, though, that would enable this, you know, oh, they don't. Yeah. I cannot even. However, circling back to my sister-in-law being kind of instrumental in me reevaluating how to handle somebody with anxiety. So I do think it's twofold. I think, you know, it's what they're consuming amplifies it.
Sure.
I think that maybe there is a genetic component where you're just wired for anxiety.
Sure.
And then I think there's parents who just enable it and grow it to the point where we have kids who don't want to drive. But my sister-in-law told me when my son was real little, because my sister-in-law had struggled with anxiety as a kid. So she recognized it. And she always says she wished that, you know, her parents had noticed it because it could have helped her a little bit if she would have felt validated and maybe like supported in it.
Yeah.
Well, when my son was real little, she brought it up to me that, hey, I think he has anxiety. And I was very much like, no, he doesn't. Because Gary and I don't.
That doesn't sound like you.
Well, yeah, right. It is like, you know, and I am very kind of like, well, even if he does, he needs to figure it out in life because life's not going to like bend for you.
Right.
And then as he got older and it started manifesting itself more, I had to really come to terms with the fact that nothing created this. Like he, you know, there wasn't any major trauma. There wasn't a reason per se for him to feel anxious about certain situations. It was just kind of wired into who he was.
I mean, his mother had cancer.
That doesn't bother him. Like his anxiety.
I mean, that you think.
Well, sure. But I mean, so.
Yes. Yeah, I get what
you're
saying.
But he has just like the things he gets anxious about, to your point, are not things that I would think.
Yeah.
He would care about.
Yeah. And the things are just manifestations of anxiety.
And the things I think would cause him a lot of anxiety don't.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like
it is very backwards.
It's very backwards. I guess all that to say that, you know, I had to really come to this place of, yes, anxiety exists.
Yeah.
Yes. He struggles with this. Yes. I want to support him and acknowledge that it's something he deals with and that it's not per se abnormal. And at the same time, impart on him that you have to move forward.
You have to move forward. Yeah.
I feel like this derailed, though, because we were starting to talk about mental health issues and then we took it into like our kids' anxiety.
Well, but I think it's an applicable story to tell because I think everybody is going to see a little bit of their own kids within our conversation.
And how do you address it?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do? Because now, at first I just got frustrated and was just like, let's just barrel through. You got to like, but I think what is really interesting is that when you stay in conversation with your kids, instead of just being like, whatever, you don't have anxiety and like, this can't be that bad for you. And your life is so easy because you're a kid, which is like my tendency to be like, come on, your life is not hard. Like making a decision about breakfast, get it together. We just got to move forward. It's like just acknowledging, I know this is a hard decision, but sometimes when you just choose something that is outside of your comfort, it could turn out good, but you don't know that until you try.
And it turns into
a lesson for
them. Well, and here's the conversation I have with my son. He's 15. Mm-hmm. He loves junk food. Mm-hmm. He's in high school now. So at home, we don't have it, but he will eat terrible when he's with other people. Other family members, at school, he's doing nothing but consuming junk. And I have noticed that his anxiety is worse when he eats like that.
Yeah.
And I have brought this to his attention. Hey, what you're putting into your body is either going to help your anxiety or it's going to make it worse. Mm-hmm. And what you're choosing to do is making it worse. And he doesn't listen. So, I'm just going to put this out there that he does not listen, but I'm trying to plant a seed for the future.
So here's how I handle that sort of in my household, because like, this is kind of goes back to the whole cancer talk. Like you can try to control all the things that you can control, but some things you can't control. Like when your kids are over at other people's houses, you can't be like, please don't give them this. Please don't give them that. Like, you know,
I've given up on that.
It just like it starts to become this whole thing and it's annoying. But what I have noticed about my kids, and I really love this, and I was actually just talking to my husband about this, and this sort of plays into the whole conversation that we're having, is that when you set up a home where they have good, nutritious food and they feel good, regardless of how they feel about eating it, and you always have those things around. It's funny, we were just at Great Wolf Lodge last week and we ordered food there at their little cafe. And when we got it, both of the girls were like, this food is terrible. It's like cooked in seed oils. It just tastes bad. Like you can tell it's just low quality, you know, what all the things. And that's not the first case this has happened. We've been out at other restaurants where it's just sort of not great food. And this happens with my daughter too. She'll come home and be like, oh, I ate like crap at so-and-so's house. I don't feel good. And it wasn't like at the moment, like I was wanted to eat with them. And
I agree.
But they don't feel good and they don't enjoy the food.
You're right. I want to differentiate between my son and my daughter. So my middle child is 12 and I'm starting to educate her right about these things because I want it to burrow in there.
Yeah.
And I showed her, before she went over to a friend's house, I showed her a video about the difference between what's in a Coca-Cola in the United States versus what's in a Coca-Cola in Europe, because it's two different things.
Yeah.
Europe will not allow
some of
the majority of the chemicals that we allow in the United States. Anyway, I had her watch the video at one point, and she came home and she's like, oh my gosh, like, I was at their house and I was offered a drink and I went out to get, you know, a Coke from the fridge, and then remember that video. She goes, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. So she came in with bottled water, you know, and I was sitting there thinking, there's microplastics in the bottled water.
Yeah, but whatever.
Right. But you just, you're like, I'm not going to die on that hill, right? No. I want you to choose the water over
the
Coke.
She did a great job.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was like, I told my husband later, I'm like, girls are usually more mature than boys.
Yeah.
My son, on the other hand, went out, got the Coke, and drank it.
He's just going to be on a different timeline. But eventually, when you...
What'll happen is he'll get sick.
Your household good.
He'll get sick, or he'll not feel good, and there will be some motivation for change, but it's not now.
Yeah.
And so my whole point in bringing this whole thing up is that I understand the struggle, right? Like, it's not like, you know, you only have so much control. And that's what I keep telling my husband. While we have them in the house...
Yeah.
Let's control as much as we can,
but
to your point, when you're out. So we'll talk about kind of what's contributing to this epidemic. We kind of went down that trail with the foods. But before we do that, you want to do boobs?
Yeah.
Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
Are you ready for this, Boobs in the News?
Yes.
Oh, there's a cute picture with this one.
It's not a Cheeto this time, is it?
No. Okay. So this just happened. A 4-year-old Wisconsin boy called 911 to report his mom was being bad by eating his ice cream.
Hilarious.
So I love that mom taught him how to call 911. And then, you know, you always talk about how Eric talks about the calls that come in that are so ridiculous. But those are by adults.
Yeah.
They should be children.
Yes.
How come more people, how come they don't, the paramedics don't field more calls from kids like this? Because you would think adults.
I mean, he might, but it's just, now that it's cute, it's not annoying.
So it says the Village of Mount Pleasant Police Department said on social media that two officers responded to a home. Why did they respond?
Because they have to follow up on every call.
And even if it's like, about eating ice cream.
She needs to be taken away. She's very bad.
That's funny. Well, okay. I see why. So they responded to the home because a little boy called 911 saying his mom was being bad and needed to go to jail. Can you imagine? He probably didn't disclose it was about the ice cream until they got there.
Yeah.
Oh, I would be so mortified if my kid did that.
I would laugh so hard.
So it says the 4-year-old informed the responding officers that his mom ate his ice cream and needed to go to jail for it. Okay, so there it is.
They probably just came because it was funny.
He kind of changed his mind after they came. I think he realized, like, oh I don't really want her to go to jail.
Right.
So he kind of backtracked on it. But look at this picture.
Oh, my gosh.
It was two...
4-year-old, you said?
Yeah.
Oh.
Look at him. How cute is this picture? It's the two police officers.
They're probably moms.
Yeah. So it's two younger women.
Yeah. They're like, we're responding to this call right now.
I mean, you know what? It's a great photo op for their social media.
Yeah.
Right? Just all the things that they have to respond to and deal with.
That family's never going to forget that.
No. Remember that time?
Timmy called 911 for eating your ice cream.
Right.
But she doesn't eat his ice cream anymore.
No, exactly. Mom, you're on notice. Like, anything you do now, it's going to be a call to the popo.
That's hilarious.
There's your boobs in the news.
Boobs in the news. Boobs in the news. Boobs in the news.
All right. So what's contributing to this epidemic? We kind of touched on it with food, but anxiety, depression, ADHD, and cancer rates are pretty clearly linked to diet, sleep, and screen time.
Oh, sleep is so important. And screen time.
So can I talk about sleep for a minute? Because that's a pet peeve of mine with parents who let their kids stay up until all hours.
Or let their kids fall asleep watching their tablets. That's my pet peeve.
Their tablets, their TV.
Yeah.
I want to know why. Like,
why they do that?
Yeah, because like when I had my babies, I was like, I'm going to wire them for good sleep.
Yeah.
Which meant my kids were going to bed when it was still light out in the summer
because
they needed to have enough hours of sleep. Yeah. I mean, babies need like freaking 12 hours of sleep. I mean, it's not like they can get away with like a few hours. So I was really intentional, and like my kids' bedtime was set in stone. Mm-hmm. I have more trouble with my kids as preteen state, like going to bed on time, than I did when they were little. Because parents will always complain, oh, they get out of bed. Oh, they want to come in. Oh, they do. I'm like, I never understood that. But going back to it, I don't understand parents who are like, well, we let our kids stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
One time a year they're allowed to do that. And that is on New Year's Eve.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree that we'll let the kids ring in the new year. But besides that, I mean,
sleep is so important. Sleep is when their body is doing all like the cellular cleanup and growing. Like, you don't want to cheat them on those.
Well,
things.
And if your kid has a bad night and they don't get good sleep, they are nightmares the next day. I mean,
It's like having a hangover.
The impact on their mental health is like huge.
Yeah. And when we talk about just the diet part of it, like depending on how you eat and if you don't regulate your blood sugar well, and if you have just an increased amount of sugar, you don't sleep well.
No.
So your sleep is interrupted. And when you have a big dip in your blood sugar at night, it wakes you up. So if you have a kid that's like waking up in the middle of the night, there's a good chance that they're having too heavy of a carb / sugar meal right before bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a good rule of thumb is like 2 to 3 hours before bed, just don't eat.
And that goes for adults too.
Eat the ice cream at 8 o'clock.
You'll sleep better if you don't eat late at night. That's just a good rule of thumb.
Yeah.
The screen time's a big deal because I have 2 kids who are prone to addiction to screens, and I have one that's not.
Mm-hmm.
And this always goes along with my mantra of you can't treat all your kids the same because they're not the same people. 2 of my kids, I mean, if I let them, they would be on a screen
all day,
all night. Like, they just would.
Mm-hmm.
They want that dopamine
hit. What if
you
made a requirement for them to have any screen time that they had to wear their blue light glasses?
I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, I can do that. Do you think that affects their mood?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It definitely affects your sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't let the kids look at that stuff right, you know, like within an hour or two of bed.
Yeah. It sometimes it does mean completely rewiring your evening, because I know a lot of families will have dinner and then they sit down and they watch TV together, like a show or whatever. But I will say those are the hard nights. Like, they're hard for me when I watch a show before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. I choose reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I might have mentioned this in a previous podcast, but one of my kids has a friend and he's super addicted to electronics to the point where he will leave social situations because he has to go home and play.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. You just have to think about the impact this is having on our kids. There's no regulation out there. Nobody's looking over your shoulder to tell you to impose these things.
Yeah.
My son is just a better human being when he's not playing video games.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. But of course, that's how he connects with his friends. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants to do. So we're super rigid about it. He hates us for it. We don't care.
Yeah. We care not.
We care not what you feel about us.
Yeah.
We talked about ultra processed foods and sugar overload.
It's kind of fun being the house that none of the friends like to come to, because we always have...
I know you've said that.
Yeah.
Like, your food is boring.
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily boring. It's just that I think it's funny when we have friends over and they're like, oh, I've never had this. And I go, great, you're going to have it for the first time here.
Yeah, right. Like, exactly.
I've fed Brussels sprouts to people for the first time a lot.
Oh, that's too funny. You get a kid to eat a Brussels sprout, I commend you, my friend.
We always say, if you're here, you're going to try it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think sedentary lifestyles is a huge problem. That kind of coincides with the screen time. But how many kids do you see outside playing? I mean, I feel like it's so much less.
Yeah.
We have neighbors, and I actually applaud them for this, but like, they literally kick their kids outside.
Good.
And they are not allowed in.
Great.
Yeah.
They lock the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that extreme. Like, it's like, nope, you're going to be out for at least 4 or 5 hours, come home when it's dark, which is a dying breed. That does not happen very often anymore.
Yeah.
And then just the decline in physical activity, because these kids are on screens, because they're staying inside, because they're watching television, they're not moving.
Yeah.
Which goes back to the whole obesity thing.
Which is a little, I mean, it's like 2 schools of people. There are the people who are overworking their children with lots of sports, too many sports, in my opinion.
Right, correct.
And then there's the type who are not.
Right. we're a culture of extremes. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like all or nothing.
Yes.
The middle ground is where we try to live in faith through fire.
Yeah.
Sometimes successfully, sometimes not.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to win some, lose some.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then there's like toxic exposures, environmental factors. This is like what we were talking about, like chemicals in food, plastics, water contamination.
Yeah.
All these things are just like,
Yeah, you do what you can. You can't freak out about the little stuff.
No, you really can't. You got to live in this world. But I do think it's worth noting that everybody has a toxic load.
Yeah.
And it's like, when yours is reached, it's reached.
Yep.
You know, and you are going to be different than your neighbor. Before we kind of talk about what we can do to lead by example, and that's really where we're landing with this, aren't
we? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's do our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors.
All right, we're back. I think the opportunity is that you have to exercise some discipline and lead by example.
Yep.
And
even if your kids don't follow.
And I say this, right. I say this as a person who is incredibly disciplined and very disciplined in my work life, struggle in my personal life. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be on my kids about their electronics when I myself have a phone addiction, which I do. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Or I can't get on the kids about what they're eating if they see me binge eating, you know, freaking nerd clusters.
You and the nerd clusters.
It's not me. I won't eat the nerd clusters. I said that because my kids love them, but you know that's made out of bug juice.
Ew. I have yet to try them because everybody's like, they're so good. And I'm like, I should probably not eat that then.
They are good. I have tried them. They are good. I think they're, you know, overhyped, but I made my kids watch a video about how they get the red dye that makes the colors. Mm-hmm. It's all bug juice. It's bug guts.
Gross.
And you know what my son said? I don't care. They're delicious.
But Emily,
she even said that it's worth the bug guts.
Wow.
That's how
the Coca-Cola was out, but the bug guts in.
She was okay with the bug guts, you know?
Wow. That's funny.
Yeah. So how can we lead by example? I mean, nutrient-dense foods, like you said, not keeping junk in the house.
Yeah.
My son gets enough junk outside the house with his friends, his family, his school.
So one of the rules in our house, I think, is really interesting, and this is like goes back to the nutrient-dense food, is like really if we put it on their plate, we expect them to try it. Mm-hmm. Like you can't say you don't like it if you've never tried it. And then also, and you don't necessarily have to eat it if you're like, I hate this. It's like usually a 2-3 bite rule, but we also don't, and this is very controversial out there, we also don't make a different meal for our kids when they don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are things that they don't like chili or whatever. So I will, you know, potentially make chicken nuggets on the side or something like that. But I don't, like,
that goes back to
an extreme case where I'm like, they were not going to like this. I'm going to make something different. For the most part, it's like, this is what we're having as a family. You have to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so funny, sometimes they like it and they're like, oh, yeah. We've unlocked a new level.
I mean, I think there's the health implications of that. And then there's the other piece, like that I said before, where is that I do subscribe to that idea that kids fit into our lives. We don't rotate our lives around our children.
Mm-mm.
And that falls
into
that
unpopular opinion.
That is unpopular opinion, people. We live for our kids. No, we don't.
No.
No, we don't. Encouraging movement and reducing screen time.
There are app limits. Like, put app limits on your people, like your little people.
Yeah,
you can make their phone shut off at a certain time.
Mm-hmm. Which we do. We have it actually on the router. The router just quits on them.
That's so smart.
Because they can get around it. Like, they're so smart when it comes to figuring out the workarounds on all that app stuff.
Yeah.
My kids are like little ninjas when it comes to circumventing the system.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, our router just shuts down. And then they're all like, you know, the minute it does, because the whole house goes, Mom.
Yeah.
Mom. Yeah.
But, get out and move with your kids. If you guys like to go hiking together or go for a family walk after dinner or, you know, just like
Gary and I were just saying, we used to do family walks all the time when the kids were real little.
Yeah.
And then now we're exhausted and we're tired. And Gary and I are like, well, that's our time together, is to do our walks, like not to have the kids there. But you're really, you know, we need to bring the kids. So, yeah, I agree. There's ways to do that. You know, movement too, like it's so interesting when we're talking about kids who are overweight. We had a family that lived in our neighborhood and their son was very overweight for his age and was never outside because he loved to play video games. Well, his parents also like were professional gamers, which I didn't even know. Like, I guess that's a thing.
Interesting.
My son tells me it's quite the thing.
Okay.
He's convinced he's going to be a $1 million, you know, gamer. I mean, they disclosed this to us, so they weren't trying to keep it a secret, but the pediatrician brought up, like, hey, you know, your son is substantially overweight for his age and he needs to be more active. To the parents' credit, all of a sudden the video games kind of went away, both for them and their son.
Yeah.
He started jumping on the trampoline. They were playing basketball with him.
That's awesome.
Interestingly enough, he was vegan when he was overweight. And the minute they reintroduced like other foods, he looked like a different kid within a year.
Yeah.
A different kid. And I was really impressed with them because so many people, you know, it's hard hearing that. It's just hard.
Yeah.
When you're overweight yourself and your doctor tells you this isn't good, if your child's overweight, it hurts.
It does.
But I was
like, major kudos to them for hearing it and realizing they wanted better for their son.
Major kudos to them, because most people wouldn't have made the changes.
No.
And this child looks completely different.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then just, you know, kind of what you said, fostering healthy habits beyond food, prioritizing sleep, stress management, you know, not ignoring the anxiety, giving them coping mechanisms to deal with it.
Yeah.
But really, it's just open conversations in a positive way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm constantly reminding my kids of what's a lesson when they come home and they're like, oh, my friend did this. Or, oh, like, I'm mad that they get that and I don't. And it's just like, okay, well, I mean, here's the lesson. Like, why don't you get that? And you just stay in open conversation. The minute that they stop having conversation, I feel like that's when you start to be like, oh.
Well, that goes back to my sister-in-law giving her credit. Like that all or nothing, you're just going to do it because this is the right thing to do, or you're just going to buck up. Okay. You know, to a point. But you really have to have open conversations. Kids want to know why.
Yeah.
I grew up in a house.
Why do you go to bed at 9 o'clock?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a house. If I have my parents were great parents, but if I had one thing to, one bone to pick with them, is they were very much that authoritarian, because I said so, I'm the parent, and never gave me an explanation. I was a kid that needed to know the why, and they never gave it to me, which made me not think they knew what they were talking about, made me want to rebel against what they were telling me, and then find my own way. I do think the key with kids is open conversation, acknowledging that the issue is real, but then talking through how does it look to make a healthier choice.
Right.
They may not adopt it.
No.
You know,
but you've at least shared with them, because I said so is never going to get them to understand your why.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know what? Here's the thing, guys. When you make better choices for yourself and they see you really with it's and it's a struggle. Like my kids see me struggling with, I want to just pop something in the microwave, but I know that I should be eating this. Mm-hmm. I think that they learn from watching you grow as a person and overcome challenges and make better choices. So. Yeah. Leading by example, that's kind of my parting words.
Love
you
it.
Got any final words?
No, just be a good example.
Yeah.
Yeah. And know that you're going to fall off the train sometimes, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. We're here to grow.
Yeah.
All right, till next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.